Welcome along to season 20 of The Good Glow. I can't believe I'm saying those words. When I started this podcast back in 2019, sitting at my desk, I never believed or even imagined that I would be heading into season 20. So if you are one of my OG listeners, thank you so much for being here and all the support. If you're just picking up the pod today for the first time ever, welcome along. I really hope you enjoy it. And what an episode I have for you for the opening of season 20. I knew it had to be special. I knew it had to be powerful. And that is why I invited Shauna Lindsay to be my guest today. And I cannot wait for you to hear her story. So this season, Jamie will be back midweek Wednesdays for the bonus episode. That's where we jump into that week's episode and we chat about the story and everything we've heard. We also talk about marriage and family life as well. And I know lots of people enjoyed my episodes with Jamie last season, so they're coming your way. And at the end of each episode, every Sunday, I'll jump into a news story or something that's come up that week. So this week, it's all about Hayden Panettiere. So tune in at the end for that. Okay, so before we get into Shauna, I just want to say a huge thank you to Centrum Multibiotics Complete for supporting The Good Glow this season. If you've listened to the pod for a while, you know I'm always trying to make wellness less complicated. That is very important for me because I think for such a long time, I really believed I had to do all of the things all of the time. But these days, I'm much more interested in habits that I can actually stick to. So the big thing for me is when I can understand why I'm doing something, I'm far more likely to keep doing it. Centrum Multibiotics Complete is part of my morning routine, and let me tell you why. It's a daily food supplement that combines 18 essential vitamins and minerals and 18 scientifically proven strains for your gut in one capsule. Simple as that. It even includes vitamin D for normal immune function and vitamin B12 to support energy release. And that is a big one for me. One capsule once a day, that's it. I am a toddler mom, so I cannot overcomplicate my life, but I need to look after myself, and that is a big priority. So for me, it's the little things that I do consistently that make the biggest difference. You can find Centrum Multibiotics Complete in Tesco, Dunnes and Boots, in store and online. So let's get into my conversation with Shauna Lindsay. I'm sure lots of you follow Shauna. She is a singer, a model, an influencer, more so a fitness influencer. You will see her work online. She is a beautiful girl. She started off in the modeling industry. She grew up in Clare and she won Miss Limerick. And after that, she signed with a Dublin modeling agency and moved to Dublin. And I'd met her a couple of times out and about. I was always blown away by not only her beauty, but her energy. She was always so friendly, even though she didn't know me. And I really love that in people when they are open and their energy is great. And I just always got good vibes off her. Last October, Shauna bravely shared that she had a stroke in the gym. And that morning, she had decided to film her boxing session. And so the whole thing was on her phone. Today, she talks us through that absolutely terrifying day, but more importantly, the aftermath and how she has rebuilt her life. So I hope you enjoy. Make sure to give me some feedback. Let's get into it. Shauna Lindsay, welcome to The Good Glow. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Well, I have been on, I suppose, the hunt to get you on The Good Glow for such a long time, and I've finally pinned you down.
You got me.
Thank you for coming on. Why did you say yes? Like, why do you feel that you were able or wanted to share your story at this time?
I think just what's happened to me is obviously crazy because I'm so young and I want to spread awareness. And obviously I've shared it on my platform, but I'm hoping to reach more people.
Yeah, and it's such an unbelievable story. I have been glued to your stories and you have shared so bravely. And I think what I loved about what you were doing is that you were sharing in real time. Yeah. So
that makes you feel even more vulnerable, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. In a way, it was kind of like unbelievable to me what was happening. So I just thought sharing it, maybe someone could reach out to me that's been through similar. And yeah, I was surprised with the amount of people who were going through similar or had been. So I'm glad I shared it.
I can't remember the first time I came across you or met you out. But I always really admired you. And then when my gorgeous sister-in-law, Sophie's dog was stolen, you were one of the first people to reach out because the same thing had happened to you, and you were there to support and show up, and we appreciated that so much.
No, I couldn't believe that. And when I seen it, I was like, oh my God, I've been through this. Like, I've been through similar. So of course I wanted to help in any way I could, but obviously she didn't ever get him back.
It was like her mum's child, just taken from the house. And that is a story for another day. And maybe one day I'll be able to sit down with Sophie. People are always asking me to get Sophie on and talk about everything. She's in a busy chapter right now.
She's got a lot going on.
So here we are today, and you've been on this incredible journey over the last year. Talk to us about the days and months kind of in the lead up to, I suppose, your life changing forever. Like, what was going on at the time?
I say last year was like the most testing year of my life. And I also like poke fun that it was like Lemony Snicket's, a series of unfortunate events, because everything comes in threes, and it was like three things that happened. So I went through a really bad breakup, like not a normal situation at all. You've had bad breakups with good people, very hard, but like a breakup with bad, different gravy. So like very difficult, very stressful. But I was doing all the right things after that period, like, you know, head down, focusing on work, going to the gym, going to therapy, doing all the right things. And what would follow this? Of course, a girls' trip. So I booked a girls' trip. And then it was on this trip that I found out my mom had cancer. So like huge blow. But another thing just added to the list of like stresses.
Talk to us about the I can't even imagine a phone call like that. Yeah. Like, what was that day like, if you could share anything from it?
I think honestly I was completely numb. It probably did help that I was away and I was with my friend, so like there was distraction there. But I think, you know, you grow up and you aren't naive to the fact that bad things can happen, and like life is fragile and, you know, things can happen in a flash. And I would have been super naive to that and just thinking like my mom is a superwoman, like nothing can affect my mom. But yeah, getting that call definitely rocked me. But I know my mom is a badass, like she's strong as hell. So I was trying not to worry. And like I said, I was outside that environment, so there was distraction there. So anyways, I got home from that trip. Again, like my head is down, focusing on work. Probably the fittest I'd ever been in my life. Like I would do boxing in the mornings, and I'd come home from boxing, eat breakfast, and I'd go out for like an 8K run. Like I was really fit.
And why do you think that you had such a focus on fitness? Is that for well-being? Is that for your mental health? Like, why do you lean towards it?
I definitely think it's probably a mixture of everything. You know, like it was definitely a crutch. And as well, I just think when you start working out and you feel the benefits, you just want to do more, you know? So I was really like just feeling strong and healthy and able to do all those things. So like I never felt like I was overdoing it by any means. I was just fit enough to do it, and I was loving it. Like I was loving it. So
isn't it funny how when we're in this like huge period of stress or things feel uncertain, you're able to like lock in like never before.
Completely.
Like when
like catapults you.
Yeah. Like the drive and dedication that it gives you to like wake up and live each day and get the most out of it.
Yeah. And at the same time, you know, my mom was told like she can have surgery, and like we were all very positive about it. So like, but obviously it's not ideal hearing that your mom has to go through all that. But I was locked in completely. And yeah, I guess I remember the day before it happened. Like I was cleaning my apartment. I had friends staying with me that week, did a whole food shop. Like the fridge was fully stocked, and I had went to boxing that day. So the Sunday, and like completely normal day. Like people are always asking, like, was there a sign? Like, did you know beforehand? Was there anything that, you know, was alarm bells? Not at all. Like, not at all. So then Monday morning rolls around. Here I am thinking I'm a healthy gal. 7 a.m. Monday morning, I go to the boxing class. And by 7:15 is when I had the stroke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us about before, in the minutes beforehand. Did you just feel completely normal?
Felt so normal. I remember I was in the lift going down. I had songs playing. I actually put up a video on my story of like me in the lift dancing, like full of beans, 7 a.m. And I get into the class and it was with one of my favorite trainers, just someone who like, it was a pad work class. And all my punches always connected very well with him. So I loved when he was the coach. And I'm in the class. He tells me to throw a combo and I throw a right hand and on impact, my whole arm went numb. Like it felt like my arm just went limp on my body and obviously completely freaked out, but your brain tries to rationalize it. And I just thought, oh, okay, I must have dislocated my arm. My arm's obviously popped out of its socket. Like that's how my brain was trying to rationalize. And I just remember I bent over, I kneeled down to the ground and I just didn't know what was happening. My arm was limp on my body. I had to get my left arm to pick up my arm nearly.
So it was like it was completely numb, like you couldn't move it.
No, couldn't move it at all. And I was just like, what the hell? Bent over, picked it up. And I was like, right, I'm going to make a run to the bathroom here and try like gather my thoughts. So I ran into the bathroom. And I remember being on the floor in the bathroom, looking at my Apple Watch. Heart rate was 160. I thought that was high, but like, it's not alarming. I'm doing a really high intensity workout. And I remember it was in the bathroom that I had the strangest moment of like my, it's like an outer body experience. My consciousness, like my voice and my body felt separate. And it wasn't like a, I'm looking down on my body. It was more like a lag. So like anytime I'd go to talk, it was like it wasn't catching up to my body in time. Like it was just the weirdest thing ever.
So like, does that mean like you'd say something and
yeah,
the words wouldn't come till a few seconds later?
Yes. It was literally like a separation. It was like the weirdest thing. It felt like I was over here and my voice was over here. So weird. And I remember I came out of the bathroom. By the way, my phone is recording this whole damn thing. Of course it is. Influencer.
So you've got your phone and a tripod.
Yeah, outside. So like I literally have a video of it happening. But my phone was out there. And I remember my best friend just so happened to be in the class that morning. And we're never really in classes at the same time. But she was there. And I said, will you grab my phone? And I said this in my video. I could have said, will you grab the banana there? Because my voice was just so, my words were so mumbled or jumbled up. Like they just were not making sense at all. And she looked at me and could see that like I was kind of glassy eyed. And she was like, go sit outside, like get some air. Got air outside. I knew I wasn't okay. Like the words were just not coming out of my mouth correctly.
And was your arm still?
My arm came back after like 30 seconds.
Wow.
So while I was on the bathroom floor, my arm came back. So I was like, oh, that's okay. I was thinking this is just adrenaline. Like this is what I'm feeling. Like I've never had this before. So I was just trying to rationalize everything. And as well, with the mumbling of words and making them all jumbly, like I was just like, no, this is just my brain having adrenaline. This is what's going on. So I was sitting outside getting air. And I just knew I wasn't okay. Like I could not tell them anything. I couldn't tell them I wasn't okay. Like I was texting on my notes being like, I need to go to the hospital.
And were they around you?
Yeah. So okay. Christina was there and I was like, I need to go to hospital. Or like I could say it if I like really, really tried. Like it was nearly impossible to speak. And I was also getting embarrassed to talk because I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? Why can't I speak? Like I was like, it was just not a nice feeling. So she was like, okay, I'm going to drive you to the hospital.
And do you think that she had an idea of what was happening?
I don't think anyone did, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because
we're just so young that we've never probably been around something like that or experienced anything like
100%.
That before.
100%. Yeah.
So she gets you into the car.
We get into the car and typically my phone didn't charge that night for some reason, which never happens. But I just knew I was going to be in hospital for a while. So I needed to stop and get a charger. So I asked her to get a charger. So we pull up to this Circle K and she gets out of the car. She goes inside. And at this point, like I really can't talk. And I remember I pulled down the mirror in the car and I was looking at myself in the mirror and I said, right, I'm going to practice talking here now. And what I'm going to tell her is this story about my friend Adam, da 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 da. And every single time that I went to say Adam, woof kept coming out of my mouth.
Shauna, stop.
Like, what? Literally, that's how, like, my wires were so crossed that woof was coming out of my mouth.
Instead of the word Adam.
Yeah. So just imagine, like, this is happening for so many other words as well. Like, water, I'd be like, dog. Like, my words were just completely jumbled.
And so you're looking at yourself in the mirror. What are you thinking?
Yeah. It's funny now. Like, I look back and I'm like, if there was anyone beside me in the car next door and I'm there like, woof, woof, woof. So, yeah.
It just goes to show, like, when you pull up at a garage, you have no idea where
what's
people
going
are on their way to.
Yeah.
You know?
Completely. Yeah.
So when your friend, when Christina gets back in, did you try to tell her that? Or did
I'd
you
be
just,
saying nothing.
You said
my
nothing.
My mouth is shut. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that again. No. So I think, do you know the Circle K is like there and then there's that big road and then Vincent's is there.
Yes.
Like, it's not a far drive.
Yeah.
So from that garage to Vincent's, just that short drive, when I got into the hospital, I obviously had to tell them my name, my date of birth, my address, and I could manage that. So it had resolved. But I think it was gone for like 20, 30 minutes, my speech.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I remember giving my address and I got it all, but then my air code couldn't get it out. I was like, oh, like, it was so, so difficult.
And the lady checking you in, did she seem very alarmed?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't think so. Honestly, sure, I didn't know what was going on. She was just like, is she okay? Is she drunk? Like, I don't know what she thought,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I suppose they just see it so much that it's probably just,
yeah,
they're just processing you.
Yeah. But the minute I went in, you know, I had told them about the history of stroke and everything, but they thought I had torn an artery in my neck. Because
what was the history of stroke? Your granny?
My grandmother had a big stroke. Like, she was put in a home for like over 10 years.
Oh,
she was
God.
Playing bingo one night and yeah, she had a stroke and I think she went home and then it obviously got worse. She had to go to hospital and then like she didn't get it on time. So
yeah,
she just kept having more strokes then.
And did you feel like in deep down that it could have been that?
Were you I definitely did because I was ChatGPT and I was Googling everything.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm the doctor now. Like, I know what's going on. But at the same time, they didn't think so. Like, they were like, no, like, it's the likelihood of that. You're very young. Like, they thought I pulled an artery in my neck, which is common with boxing, apparently, and like fast movements. So I was like, fine. Hopefully that's what's up. But no, once they did all the tests, they found that I had not one, but three strokes.
What were those kind of 24 hours like where you were kind of trying to process this?
I think by that stage, I was Googling so much that I really thought it was a stroke, just given the history.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, the likelihood of this being a stroke is higher. So when it was said to me, I don't know, I was kind of numb to it at that point because obviously I didn't have any lasting effects at that time anyway. Do you know, like, I didn't know, was I going to get worse or anything? And was I going to deteriorate? Like, I just thought I'm fine now. So it wasn't really, it wasn't really affecting me. I was just like, oh, you had a stroke. I was like, okay. But then when you have a stroke, you need to find out why the hell that happened.
Yeah.
So they obviously kept me in for like 10 days. They were doing a bunch of tests and they found that I had a PFO. Which is a hole in your heart, which is actually a flap. And everyone's born with a PFO, but majority of people, it will close. But for some people, it won't. And then for the people that it doesn't close in, it won't actually cause issues. But if you're really lucky, like me, it will cause you an issue.
When they told you you had three strokes, were those three strokes all in the gym that morning?
So the one that I felt with the arm, the speech, they could see that one, but they couldn't tell me when the other two had happened. Yeah.
So they could tell that that one was happened on that day.
Yeah, because of where it was on my brain and the symptoms that I had.
Right.
They knew that that was the one that I felt. But the other two were in different areas of my brain. So they can't tell me when those happened. Yeah. And also, like, there's different types of strokes. So, like, people have written under my videos about, like, a TIA, which is a transient ischemic attack. which I think the you don't actually have lasting symptoms, which I don't have, but because I do have permanent damage on my brain, mine isn't considered a TIA, I think. I'm not okay. A doctor, but I think.
The other two strokes, and you may not know the answer to this, what symptoms were associated with that? Sorry if you just answered that.
No, I literally don't know when they happened. Like, I never felt them. They're silent strokes that I would have had. And it's wild because I had actually had an MRI in April. So the strokes happened in October. So in April, I had an MRI and my brain was clear. So from April to October, I had three strokes. I had two I didn't feel. I could have been asleep. I could have been doing anything. So
I wonder what would have happened if you were still asleep at 7:15 that morning. What way that would have manifested? Did anyone ever talk to you about that?
No. I always think it was probably just inevitable, to be fair, like with my family history. And I obviously have a hole in my heart. So that's, you know, a big risk. And everything that I do, like boxing and stuff like that, that makes that hole open and close. And if you have a blood clot, it'll go through that hole and up to your brain and cause a stroke. And literally that's what happened to me.
So when they tell you, let's talk about the days in between having the stroke and finding out the reason you had a stroke. Where was your mom? And because she was going through her own illness at that time. What was that time like?
So it's kind of wild because I was in hospital doing the stroke thing and my mom was actually
doing the stroke
doing
thing.
The stroke thing. And my mom was actually going into hospital for her kidney surgery, for her cancer surgery. So yeah, it was just absolutely a wild time. Like, I remember sending her my hospital food and she'd be sending me her hospital food. And like, obviously we were poking fun and laughing, but like completely serious situation all around.
Yeah. And it's funny, isn't it? That like you were probably being strong for each other in what was going on for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. Like showing up with a brave face to your mum. And there she is on the other side of the country doing the exact same thing for you.
100%. That is what it was. Yeah.
It's like, did you ever think about the timing of that and think that it was meant to be that way so you could be each other's support network?
I do, kind of. Like, I do. I think everything happens for a reason in a really messed up way. Like, I just think the timing of everything. I'm like, oh my God.
You're a really strong person, I feel. Did you feel weak at any point throughout it?
I think I surprised myself with how well I handled everything in the hospital. Like the first initial hospital visit, I'm like being told I had a stroke, being told I had PFO. Like, of course, I was so afraid. But I don't think I felt weak until before the surgery. Mm-hmm. So I was told that I'd be having surgery in December. And it just so happened to be the 18th of December. So, like, I've had panic attacks in my life and obviously they're so scary, but I think the week before my surgery I had a mammoth panic attack and I had to call an ambulance for myself. I fully thought I was having a heart attack. I was in my bed looking at my watch, this damn thing, and my heart rate was rising rapidly, my palms were sweaty, I had chest pain, I couldn't breathe properly at all, and I was like, oh, this is it, like I'm fully having a heart attack. So I rang an ambulance and I was just so, so afraid. And before this, like I was obviously going to my doctor for bloods and checkups and all, and she could see me, like I was a shell of a person, just so afraid of the surgery that was happening. Mm. And she prescribed me a really low dose of Xanax, but I was afraid to take anything. I was like, oh my God, no, what if that does something to me? Like, no, no, no. So like, I was just suffering. Do you know what I mean? I was really just suffering.
And that, just feeling so out of control of like what's happening inside your body.
Completely. And then when I had called the ambulance, they came and they were so, so lovely. They did all the tests. They told me I was fine. I have a lot going on. And he just said, throw away that watch and take that bloody Xanax. And that's what I did, girl. And it really helped me. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know, like I felt so much shame about that, but like I needed that. Went in for my surgery. So scary. Like I remember crying my eyes out before they put you to sleep. And
who was with you that day?
I was on my own. Yeah.
Did did you decide that you wanted to go by yourself?
I think just like mentally, you need to lock in a way that you're just like, I can't have people around me being like, are you okay? Are you like, I
so
can't.
What? Like you just get into a taxi
I
and
got
go
into a taxi and went. And I was just like,
did the taxi driver ask you what you were
no,
doing?
No, I'm pretty sure I was just silent the whole way. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. My God.
So I went in and I'm wheeled in to this room. So scary, by the way, surgery rooms. Can they like paint it pink or something? I don't know. And I'm put up on the bed and I'm literally bawling, crying. Like my body is like, I'm in hysterics. And this nurse is so freaking lovely. And she's like, I promise you, this is the hardest part. Like it's going to be done. It's going to be over with. And she's rubbing me and she's like, he's going to give you the good shit. And literally everything went black. And I just woke up and it was done. And like such a relief.
Before you went in, did you feel like you might die? Is that why
100%.
You were so? Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Like it's my heart as well. Do you know? And I know it's not like this super invasive surgery, but like, I think when you're told you need to have a surgery on your heart.
So it's scary.
Like rattles you like.
And what was the surgery? What did they do?
So PFO closure surgery, basically they are putting an implant in your heart to cover up the hole, basically, but it's non-invasive. They go up to your groin with a catheter. It's like an umbrella shaped device, so literally it goes the whole way up and they put it in. It opens up like an umbrella on one side, and then as they pull it out, the other side opens up as an umbrella and it just seals shut.
Oh my God.
And then my heart will grow over this device. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Did you feel like when you woke up you could feel it?
Oh, I could feel everything. Like I feel everything anyway. Like I am someone who suffered with health anxiety my whole life. So like palpitations, anything, like I'm the worst person this could happen to because I feel everything. So when I was sitting in the bed after the surgery, I was okay because I was still obviously a bit out of it. Judge Judy was on the screen. I was giving toast.
She's always on.
I was happy out. I freaking love her. So I was happy out. And then when nighttime came around, and this was always my struggle even before the surgery, I was fine during the days, but when nighttime comes knocking, my anxiety is like peak.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in the hospital bed and oh my God, I just could not relax. Like my beeper kept going off, which is telling you your heart rate's going up and up. So I'm in a room with a bunch of other people who've had heart surgeries, whatever. And, you know, every now and again, you'll hear someone's beeper going off. A nurse will come in and check on them. Like my beeper was going off so much because I was so freaked. And it was just my mind just giving me that physical effect because my mind was running loops on itself, being like, oh my God, did you feel that? Oh my God, what the hell was that? And then bing, 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 she's coming in. I actually had to tell her at one point, stop coming in, like just leave me be and I'll be fine.
And like, where do you go from there? Does it get easier every day? Do you learn to deal with the anxiety or what happens?
So I was here for 5 days with my mom minding me. And this is now like the 21st of December. And I think I got a migraine with Aura at this time. And that is when you have a visual disturbance. And this can be linked to strokes and PFOs. So I had to ring the hospital and basically they brought me back in. And I was kept in. They did tests. I was fine. I got out on Christmas Eve. And I remember me and my mother getting on the bus, going down to Limerick for Christmas Eve, like literally on the bus Christmas Eve. I'm just after having heart surgery. My mom's just after having a cancer surgery.
How is this happening?
I know. Yeah.
So you get the bus home.
Yeah. Had a lovely Christmas. And then when I got back up to Dublin, I was obviously like, this is all very fresh. So I could not be alone. I just couldn't be alone. So my friend Stefan literally slept on my couch for over a month, I'd say. Like such a good, solid friend. I just couldn't be alone. Like my panic attacks were off the charts and I had to take Xanax every single night for well over a month just to settle me.
And it seems like it's the nights that were difficult for you.
Yeah.
The nights can be long, can't they?
I just think like during the day you have distraction, people are around. The minute I got into my bed, like I'd be rattling with fear because I would feel every little thing, you know, a palpitation. And of course I'm going to feel palpitations. Like I say this now to people who are writing to me that are going through this. I'm like, you will feel palpitations after your surgery. You have to look at it like, essentially your heart has never beat normally in your whole life. And now your heart is going to be forced for blood flow to go correctly. So it's just adjusting.
Yeah.
So that's what I was feeling. But in my head, I'm like, oh my God, this is, I'm going to die, you know?
And why Stefan? Like, what does he give you in your life?
We've been friends for like well over 10 years. Such a gem. Always shows up. Just good egg.
God, that's so important to have someone like that, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, he's a PT as well. So like, he was walking with me, my first walks, jogging with me, my first jogs, and just like making sure that I was grand. Like, we'd run for 10 seconds and we'd stop and we'd run for 10 seconds. You know, so.
And you needed someone to like hold you in that time.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, isn't it? That like we can, like, because I was watching you from the outside in, it's like, oh yeah, Shauna had a stroke and now she's recovering.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is to people looking from the outside in. Little do they know the absolute, like,
mental torture
that you're going through in the aftermath of something.
I think at the same time though, like online when I was coming on, I was trying to be strong. Do you know what I mean? Because in a way I was like, if anyone is going through this, which I knew a lot were because they were writing to me, I want to appear like I'm fine. But I was saying to them, it's like the hardest part of everything is the mental side. Like, you are fine, but it's getting your head over everything is like so difficult. Like, it is learning to trust your body again.
Yeah.
100%.
And feeling so like betrayed by your body. Like, I'm 9 years out from cancer now and I found my lump in the middle of the night. So I, like, last night I woke up in the middle of the night, just terror running through my veins.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh my God, what if I touch off something in my body? What if I find something? It's like the dead of the night is the loneliest place on earth.
Why
to
does
be,
it get us in the night, man? It's
I don't
so
know.
Bad. Let us sleep. We need to catch seas. God.
Tell me about like what the doctors are saying. You've had the heart surgery. Like, are they reassuring you now?
Yes.
About life.
Yeah, for sure. Like, obviously I am medicated. So I'm going to be on blood thinners for life. But pretty much I can get back to normal. You know, like, obviously slow and steady wins the race. Like I said, I was like running 30 seconds, then walking. I've actually just gone back to boxing the other week. And again, I'm barely punching, but like, I need to do that for me. But I'll build it up, like, and I will get back. And they said that. You know, so that's reassuring.
Why, if you have a hole in your heart, can that cause you to have a stroke?
So I think when you're doing like boxing and particular things where you might hold your breath, the flap or hole in your heart will open. And if you have any blood clots in your body, which a lot of people typically do, but they'll just go to your lungs and your lungs can filter them out and it's all G. But if you have a hole in your heart, the flap can open, the blood clot goes through the hole and right to your brain.
And probably like so many strokes are preventable if people knew this information. Yeah. And can you get screened for that?
I think if you do like a whole cardiac test where it's not just ECGs, because like when I was like 21, I remember I had really bad anxiety and like I've went to A&E thinking something was wrong with my heart. And they were doing ECGs and obviously they were coming back clear because they're not looking at the structure of your heart. But yeah, I don't know. Had they done a full cardiac assessment, maybe all those years ago, I would have found the hole in the heart. So.
Oh my God, that's life-saving information for people to ask the questions.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it would be worthwhile, like, if schools could do a full cardiac assessment. Seriously.
Oh my God. So it's nearly a year later now.
Yeah.
Do you feel mentally stronger, or is it some days are you back to day one?
Like you said there the other night, you were like panicked. The other night I had a panic attack, but I guess it's just going to be like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, I was just in bed, my thoughts started going and I completely freaked myself out, and I guess it's just going to be that way for a while. But like, I do feel mentally strong, and yeah, I just think take it each day as it comes. Like,
have you been able to look at anyone else who's been through this and kind of feel like there's a young person who's been through this as well?
Yeah. So when this was happening, I found that Hailey Bieber had the exact same thing.
Hailey Bieber, Justin Bieber's
wife. Yeah. So she had the exact same thing that happened to me. I think she was sitting having breakfast with Justin, as you do, and they were having a conversation, and he just noticed her face starting to drop. And yeah, lo and behold, she had a stroke, had PFO. She had the whole closure surgery that I had.
Wow.
Yeah, she has a whole video on YouTube about
it. And when was that?
Oh, a couple of years back anyway.
And did you know about that before it happened to you? No.
Not at all.
I didn't know that about her.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's mad. And like, she explains it all so well in her video as well. So like, to actually be able to listen to that, and I don't know, for somebody so well known to have gone through it, it was kind of like, oh, okay. If she did that, I can do it. It's fine.
And she's just gone on to become a billionaire.
Yeah, just a billionaire. Who knows what's next for me?
Yeah, who needs Justin Bieber? Yeah. So tell me about the video that you recorded in the gym that day. When did you go back and look at it?
So I think I was in the hospital sitting, obviously just waiting, and I did see it. And actually on the video, I could see that my face had drooped, and I didn't know that at all, because obviously I just ran from that point into the bathroom. No one had seen me, so no one had seen my face drop, but you could see it on the video. Like, I think it was the left side of my face just completely slanted, and I was like, oh, okay. So I seen that on the video.
Yeah, I've never even seen what that looks like. Yeah. I need to look it up, because it's so important to know the signs of somebody 100%. Having a stroke, and you getting yourself to the hospital so quickly. You posted that video to your Instagram.
Yeah.
What sort of reaction did you get from it?
Completely shocked, because I think when you're going through things, you feel very isolated. You feel like you're the only person going through it. And I shared it in the hopes that maybe one or two people might be able to relate. But since I've posted that, I'd say I have 400 messages from people young, like literally from 18 to 50s, all young people who have had strokes. Like, you'd consider, like, you would have always thought a stroke is just for people in their 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
No, like young people. A mother of a girl who was 4 years old had written to me telling me that her daughter had a stroke. Like, it can happen at any age at all. And I don't think people know that.
Wow. If you could look at your life, you know, this time last year, and see that this is, I always say, like, we all have a thing. Like, Jamie has MS.
Yeah.
You know, I had cancer. Like, your thing now is you've had a stroke.
Mm.
But I think it's allowed you to speak about so much more than just strokes. Mm. Like, speaking about your mental health is so important, and being so honest about the fear that it can engulf you after you go through something traumatic like that PTSD is just so important to get out there, because people are literally alone and terrified.
Yeah. No, it's so important to share. And like, it is hard. And like I was saying there, anytime I've shared online or on my stories, you are only seeing me coming on, like, being chirpy, I guess, because I try to make lightness of everything. But like, it's so difficult. It's a mental battle.
Mm. And something like this is obviously going to change you as a person. Like, has it changed you in how you show up in the world, do you think?
I think it's definitely changed my perspective on things. Like, as you grow up, you're naive to, like, you don't think anything bad's ever going to happen, be it to your parents, to whoever. Like, I was pretty naive. And like, for that to happen, my mom, and for me to firsthand get a taste of shit can hit the fan real quick.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Like, that has been so eye-opening for me. So I don't know. I think, has it changed me? It's just changed that perspective of, it's nothing's promised, you know, to live in the moment more. And I don't know, definitely protect my peace.
A short break to thank Centrum Multibiotics Complete for supporting The Good Glow this season. Okay, if you listen to Soul Sisters, you'll know that I don't like clutter. I like to put things away. But now I do the opposite. I've realized that I need visual reminders for my healthy habits, and I'm much more likely to be consistent that way. So the things that I use every day, I leave out where I can actually see them. So my SPF is on my skincare shelf, my body oil is on my bedside table, and my Centrum Multibiotics Complete are on the kitchen shelf. So every morning when I'm making breakfast or I'm making the kids' lunches, I can see them. I don't have to think about it or remember to go looking for it or set a reminder on my phone. They are just there. It's funny that one little change in your routine can make such a difference. So if you want to support your everyday well-being without overcomplicating your routine, why not try Centrum Multibiotics Complete, a daily food supplement that combines 18 essential vitamins and minerals and 18 scientifically proven strains for your gut in just one easy capsule. It's designed to support everyday well-being, including vitamin D for normal immune function and vitamin B12 to support energy release. You can find it in Tesco, Dunnes and Boots, in-store and online.
Are you still the girl that does the shopping on the Sunday, is like has an impeccable apartment, is getting up at 7 o'clock going for your workouts?
Oh, I'm definitely, I've fallen off to getting up at seven for my workouts, but I'll get back there. I don't know, I've just been enjoying my summer too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it definitely is my summer. I'm saying yes to everything. Like, I'm going on trips. I'm just living my life, do you know? But I will definitely lock in for the 7 a.m. workouts yet again
sometime soon. I love the way we're in an era of, I suppose, in the wellness world, of not only speaking about doing the hard things like getting into the ice baths, like doing all this stuff that we were torturing ourselves with during COVID, but like the emphasis now is on like sleep and how important it is and the 5 a.m. club and all the things that we were doing and taking away from how important sleep is
rest
and like being able to sit on the couch. Like when you came home from hospital on December 18th, it was probably so alien for you to lie on a couch for 5 days.
Yeah.
Are you able to sit and lean in to rest a little bit more?
I'm a complete couch slot.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl. I've embraced it fully. Like, but no, I think like balance is very important. But yeah, I think rest is so necessary. And because I was getting such little sleep that whole time, now I'm really taking it seriously.
Yeah. And you can be by yourself again.
Yeah, for sure.
That's so good. Now in this kind of your new life, your new reality, are you medicated? Like what is there side effects?
Yeah. So I am going to be medicated for life. I'm on a blood thinner and a statin. And then a gastro tablet. But I don't know, I could probably come off two of them, but the blood thinner is for life. And I think like as protocol after a stroke, they put everybody on two blood thinners. So I was on an aspirin as well as the blood thinner that I'm on.
Right.
And it's funny because obviously being female, you menstruate.
Mm-hmm.
And my first couple of periods were fine. And then, oh my gosh, like I actually had to wear nappies. Like I was wearing adult diapers as underwear and then I had a pad inside these nappies. I was bleeding so heavily and I thought this was normal. Like I fully thought, oh yeah, sure, I'm on blood thinners, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then one day I was down in Cork in my friend Neo's house, which was a new house, by the way, new beds, new everything. And I remember I walked in the door, I was on my period, I was wearing nappies and her mom seen me and she goes, you're anemic. Like she's a nurse, sorry. So she's a nurse. She just goes, you're anemic. And I was like, what? And then that night, I'm asleep. Sure, didn't I bleed through the nappy, through the pad, onto Neo's brand new bedclothes? And obviously completely mortified. But her mom was like, you need to come off one of those blood thinners. Like you're going to need a fucking blood transfusion.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, okay. So I said it to my doctor then. And she was like, oh God, yeah, like you have to come off that. So I was like, okay. And since we're all good. We're back
and so
to normal.
She knew by looking at you that
she knew.
Anemic.
She was like, you're grey. She's
and
like,
what did
you're
you feel
anemic.
Like?
Oh, sure. Had no energy at all. Wrecked. I actually went to sleep that day in her house like early. Like I was absolutely wrecked. And her mom called it straight away. She's like, you're anemic. And now I am anemic.
Whoa.
I have recently found out.
Are you proud of yourself when you look in the mirror?
Had you told me this happened last year. Had you told me a few years ago that I would go through this, I genuinely thought I would not have been able to deal with that. Like I wouldn't have considered myself mentally strong. And I think I've surprised myself with the resilience and how like, obviously I just find humor in everything, which I don't know, is that a good or bad thing? But like, it's really just helped me. But yeah, I just wouldn't have thought I would deal as well as I have. But I think you have to go through something to know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you told anyone off the street, this is going to happen to you next year, like they would... You, it's until you go through it, you realize how strong you are, kind of thing.
Yeah. Think about it. Like, if you had have had this podcast, somebody else telling this exact story when you were going through it, how reassuring it would have been. And like, you're that voice. This podcast exists now for somebody who's in the absolute thick of it.
Yeah.
And that's so amazing. That's why I love speaking to amazing people like you. Thank you so much. Last question. How's your mum?
My mum is flying it. My mum's in better nick than me. Yeah, she's strong as an ox. She obviously had her cancer surgery. She has 1/3 of her right kidney, but all good. Had her 6-month scan, all clear. We'll obviously have to have that for 5 years, is it? But no, she's all good. Bit of scare, like, for her surgery. She had a collapsed lung. Like, my mother scared the bloody life out of me.
Oh,
and you know, like, when you're going through things, it's like, I'll be fine, but I'm not going to be fine if you're not fine.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
So
like,
know that.
I was like, hon, you better be okay. Like, I was not well, but she went in for the surgery. Surgery went well. It's when she was recovering that her lung decided to collapse. And she was in HDU for 6 days and then the general ward for 5 days after that. And she needed 2 blood transfusions. So this is all while I'm just out of hospital with my stroke. So like, that was the overlap. So I'm sending her lasagna and she's sending me like chicken. And we're just like, yeah, gas. Like, this is so funny. But like,
you must just look at each other and go, what the hell just happened?
Just what? Yeah.
And but also you're both so lucky. Like, your lives were saved.
Completely. Like, we always say this, we're like, that's miracle stuff. That's completely miracle stuff.
I'm just picturing the two of you on the bus on the way home last Christmas. Like,
oh my
you
gosh.
Must have been just
girl,
like...
it was so funny because we were getting on the bus. Obviously, do I pack light? No, I had 2 massive bags with me. I'm just after a heart surgery. Now, the taxi man that brought us to the bus, lovely fella, helped us with the bags. And I remember we got to the bus and I said to your man, sorry now, mortified I was. I was like, sorry now, I'm just after having a heart surgery. My mom had a cancer surgery. Would you mind helping us with our bags? And he goes, I have a sore back. He just goes, no bother. Yeah, no bother. Here I am lugging in the I'm not meant to lift anything.
I have a sore back.
I have a sore back, he said. And look, he could have had a sore. I don't know his issues, but I was just like, oh, here. But like, just so
funny. Who needs men?
But you know what I mean? Like, if you don't laugh, like, you would cry. But we're just skitting the whole way. And yeah. Look.
Well, I hope it's a happier bus journey on the way home this Christmas.
Exactly. No, it will be.
Shauna, thank you so much.
Thank you for
this
having me.
Like, being a dream for me to sit down and hear this story from you, story about your life. I always say it's not just a story for a podcast, it's your life.
Yeah.
But to open this season with you, thank you so much for
Thanks for having me. No, it was so good.
I really appreciate it. And let's keep in touch.
For sure.
And we can text throughout the night.
When you're awake and I'm awake and we're panicking. I got you, girl.
And if anyone is listening to this in the middle of the night, we're with you.
Yeah. We know the vibes. You're going to be just fine.
Amazing.
Bye.
A massive thanks to Shauna for being my first guest of season 20. I loved our time together. I've left her Instagram in the show notes if you want to head over, watch that video of her in the gym. Shauna was just 30 when she had her stroke. But what I loved about this podcast was that she really explains what it feels like in the aftermath of something like that happening in your life. And I think it's really important to talk about those moments. So anyway, we'll dive into the episode with Jamie on Wednesday. I know in the lead up to Jamie being diagnosed with MS, they had suspected that he had had a stroke. So he'll be sharing lots of insights about that. But a huge, huge thank you to Shauna. Please send her a message today because it's really scary sharing your story for the very first time on a podcast. And I appreciate that she chose the Good Glow to do that. So let's talk about Hayden Panettiere. Why am I talking about Hayden Panettiere? Well, Hayden Panettiere is an actress in the US. You probably saw that she tragically passed away this week. It was the middle of the night. I was in, Tally had woken up, and as she was dozing off, I was sitting beside her cot. As she was going back to sleep, I just opened my phone and saw that Hayden Hayden Panettiere had died. And you probably know her from series like Nashville and Heroes. She was a child star in the US, and she shared a lot about her life, in particular the fallout with her mum, how she had struggled with addiction. But something in particular that really connected with me in all the videos I've been watching this week was her and her daughter Kaya's relationship. So her daughter is 11, and when Hayden had her, she suffered with postpartum depression afterwards, and she very generously spoke about that over the following years. And she actually lost custody of her daughter, who went to live with her dad in Europe, who is like a really successful boxer. And by all accounts, they have a really good relationship. And he has been sharing some beautiful words about Hayden this week, which is lovely to see. But I watched an interview where Hayden spoke about feeling miserable, crying constantly, and being very anxious after she had her baby. But what I think is most important is that she said she didn't know what was happening to her. And I could really relate to that, because looking back now, Pia is nine, it was only many years later that I could see that I think I had postpartum anxiety with Pia. So I was afraid to leave her. I was constantly worried that she would stop breathing or something would happen to her. And I felt so lonely in that feeling when I'd had Pia. Now, I was surrounded by amazing people. My mum, my mother-in-law, Jamie was great. But there's nothing quite like the feeling of loneliness you have when you're so crippled with worry. And so I put it out to my lovely followers on Instagram this week. And I said, you know, if you struggled after you had a baby, what was that like for you? And the response I had was absolutely mind-blowing. Someone said, I didn't realize that I had postpartum depression. Another said, I thought it was just me. And so many people said they told nobody. One lady said, I had intrusive thoughts. I'd never experienced anything like it before, and I told nobody. It lasted for months. Another person said that they put on a brave face to their public health nurse and was almost reassuring their public health nurse that they were fine, or trying to put on a brave face that they were fine. And I definitely remember doing that. You know, when the public health nurse was coming to my house, I wanted to look like the perfect mother. And I think so many of us carry that. Loads of people spoke about anxiety, panic, not sleeping, feeling overwhelmed, and like they'd lost themselves. And while this does not happen to everybody, it happens to some of us. And I think it's really important to acknowledge it, especially in the way that Hayden Panettiere suffered. And she spoke about nobody really believing her, that she was so bad. So I asked people, you know, what would have helped? And not necessarily just people with postpartum depression or anxiety. You know, for the mother who is coping well, you know, they need help too. So I said, what is the one thing you wish somebody had said or asked you? And the responses were so simple. It was, slow down. How are you? You're doing a good job. Can I make you dinner? What can I do to help? And something so powerful, someone said, they wrote back and they said, if you arrive at someone's house, you can say, I'm here to help. I'm not just arriving to hold your baby. And my mum would do that. She'd come in, do the ironing. Jamie's mum was making us dinners. Like, it's the practical help that makes such a difference. Ask your friend to leave their ironing out, and while you call over for a cup of tea, stand at their ironing board. Bring a dinner. Bring something nutritious. And something so lovely. Someone said they wished they had heard, you are exactly the mother that your baby needs. So I think as women, there's a lot of talk about postpartum depression and anxiety, and even postpartum psychosis, which is what Lindsay Clancy's trial is about at the moment over in the US. How can we support our friends that have babies? the sisterhood. How can we look out for each other? We are so good at giving each other advice on what you should do when you're expecting a baby. And then maybe things go quiet when you actually have the baby and you're left with your immediate circle. And what if your immediate circle isn't as supportive as most people's? And I think if I had one piece of advice for myself, it would have been, it's okay not to be with your baby 24/7, and you are not a bad mother if you take a break. Maybe one of the most important things that Hayden Panettiere tried to tell us was actually incredibly simple. When a woman tells you that she's not okay, we need to believe her and help her find the right support. So I will leave important phone numbers in the show notes. And if you are in the thick of it at the moment, please reach out to somebody. Okay, so that's it for this week. I will see you on Wednesday with Jamie, and I'll see you next Sunday for another episode in season 20 of The Good Glow.